All right. Shall we pray before we open the word this morning? Let's do it. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. I thank you that in this book, Lord, there is life, there is wisdom, there is revelation and mysteries to be discovered. Lord, we treat it as a treasure this morning, and I pray that as we open it, Lord, Holy Spirit, we would not just gloss over the words, but you would speak to us and bring life into our soul, into our hearts and our relationship with you. God, we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. This morning, I want to share a message with you called Into Deep. Into the deep. Into the deep. Turn to your neighbor and say, into. Turn to your neighbor that you just rejected and say, the deep. Into the deep. This morning, I was thinking about the time when I first learnt how to swim. And I've got four younger siblings, and so I've watched many babies try and learn how to swim. And I remember what it was like for me, and every time that I'd see some of my sisters or my little brother try and learn how to swim, it would remind me of my freaky experience trying to learn how to swim. Because, you know, when you try and swim for the first time, it is a little bit scary, right? I don't know if you remember that journey, but something I used to do is Dad used to take me down to the Pioneer Pool around the corner there, and he was a bit of a legend. He would hold his breath and swim the whole length of the Pioneer Pool. It's very impressive, very impressive. And there's little old me, and I'm just holding onto the edges, scared to go out, or maybe like to hang out in the shallow end. And who knows, when you're first learning how to swim, you start off in the shallow end, right? We all start off in the shallow end. But the only way we're going to learn to swim properly is we have to venture out into the deep. And I remember there was times where I'd feel really confident, and then it'd be winter and you'd have 6 months of no swimming. And then I'd come back to the big pool, the big Pioneer Pool, and I'd hang around in the shallow ends because I needed to warm up before going into the deep again. And Dad would do this cute thing, you know, I'd hold onto the edge and he would stand back and he'd be like, come on, just come a little further. And I'd start swimming, and then he'd take like a step back, and a step back, and a step back. And you're like, oh my gosh, why would he take steps back? Because he knew I could go a little further. He knew I could go deeper. And if he just stood there and caught me in the shallows, I wouldn't really have learnt how to swim. He had to take a step back, a step back. And this morning, I've been feeling this for a while as a church, that God is calling us into the deep. He's calling us to go deeper and deeper in his presence. He's calling us to go deeper in his presence. Did you know that there are more mysteries to be discovered in his presence? Yeah. We talk about this all the time. The angels are in the presence of God in heaven, and they're circling around the throne multiple times since the beginning of time, singing holy, holy, holy. Every time they circle around his presence, there's more of him to be discovered, more of his beauty, more of his glory, more of his grace, more of his shining beauty. There's more of him to be discovered. And I feel like God is calling us as a church to come deeper for this season. Like, I feel like this is a prophetic thing for our church in this season, to come deeper into the presence of God. And the way we're going to swim deeper, our swimming is our worship. Our swimming is our worship. Turn to the person beside you and say, your swimming is your worship. Our swimming is our worship. I don't think we're going to get deeper by standing still. I think we're going to go deeper by swimming in our worship, by going a little deeper. Who here believes that there's more of God to be discovered? Who here believes that God is so good? He's shown you how much he loved you, but he wants to show you again and again and again. Who here has been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you know there's more of Holy Spirit that you can top up on? Come on, somebody. I love that old school revival saying, just one dose of the Holy Ghost is not enough for me. Come on, somebody. I love it. There's a video of this guy on the keyboard. He's like, dun, dun, just one dose of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's glorious. I feel the anointing now. Come on. I feel like God has taken us deeper. There's more of him to be discovered. And, you know, I love our senior pastors, Pastor Rob and Denise, because They are people that believe there's more of God to be discovered. They are people that are not satisfied with staying in the shallow ends. They are deep people. They are deep people. They want to go deeper. They hunger and pray and long for us as a church together to taste and see that He is not just good, but He is really good. And the way we're going to go deeper is in our worship. It's in our worship. So, while we're talking about the deep and the deep end, can I just say this? You know, sometimes when after we preach or even during our worship or our prayer time, if you've been in church for any longer than a few months, you would have discovered that sometimes people like to come to the front here, and we call this space the altar. We call it the altar, and it's really just the front of the church. You know, it's a place where we come before the presence of God. And there's sometimes an unhealthy mindset that people get in church life where they see the altar as only a place for the broken people. Or Peely must be coming to the altar because he really needs prayer. He must be going through it. His marriage must be really struggling. That's why he's come to the altar for prayer. Not true. But sometimes we think the altar is only for broken people. Let me just rip that weed out of your head right now and say the altar is not for broken people. It's for hungry people. The altar is the hungry people. The altar is the deep end of the pool. The altar is the deep end of the pool. I don't sit up the front because I'm a pastor. I sit up the front because I'm hungry to go deeper. I'm telling you, before I was ever appointed into ministry, I would sit on the front rows. And even if I didn't sit on the front rows, I'd come to the front because I'm hungry for the Lord. And you know what? I need to be altered. And so I'm going to come to the altar, keep getting altered Sunday after Sunday because I'm hungry for Him. I'm hungry for Him. So can we just scrap that old identity? Scrap that old image and that lie that this place here is for broken people who need prayer. This is for hungry people. I pray that every Sunday morning, if you're hungry for God and you're like, I'm so restricted in my seat, I just need to worship Him because God saved me from something this week. God blessed me with something. He's been providing for me. He healed my family. He changed my heart. I need to get free and praise the Lord. Come to the altar. It is for you. It is for you hungry people. Amen? It's during worship, it's during prayer, during the preaching, whatever it is. If you want to come before the Lord, this is the place. This is the deep end. It's the deep end of the pool. It's the deep end of the pool. It's in the deep end you learn how to swim. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I do want to talk about worship. I want to talk about the way we can swim deeper in the presence of God. And I want to talk about worship and some practical things and some revelation that, oh my gosh, man, I opened this book this weekend and God has been dropping some bombs on me, praise the Lord. And I'm excited to share some of those with you. But I want to give you some practical things that you can take away and go, wow, I actually feel empowered to go deeper. Like, I feel like I can take the floaties off now. I feel like I can take the floaties off now. I feel like I can venture a little deeper with Him. And if we're talking about worship, let's just start by saying worship is not just our songs on stage. We all know this, right? We know that worship is not just our music. It's not just our songs to Him. Worship is also, even like Ben shared last week, worship is our giving. It's our sacrifice. It's our offering to the Lord. All throughout the Old Testament, what they defined as worship was, yes, the songs of praise, but it was also the sacrifices they would make at the altar. It was giving some of their cattle or giving some of their sheep or their lambs. They would give an offering. So worship is so much more than just songs, but it is songs. It's so much more than just songs, but it is songs. There is a lifestyle of worship that we are called to live, to be living sacrifices. There is a lifestyle of worship. But this sort of worship that I want to talk about today is our corporate worship, where we come together on a Sunday, or maybe you come together with your family in your home, and you join together with the people of God, the children of God, we're citizens of heaven, and we lift up our adoration to the King of Glory, to our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk about this kind of worship and how we can be led deeper. Praise the Lord. I believe some of the greatest miracles happen not when you're busy doing things for God, but when your sole focus is worshiping Him, enjoying His presence, getting lost in His love, not focusing on your struggles at present, not focusing on the issues at work that have gone before you, but choosing to praise God in the midst of struggle, choosing to lift Him up in the midst of your pain. I believe miracles happen in this place. I believe that His glory is revealed when we worship. You know, there's stories in the Old Testament and in the New of times where people would worship and the Spirit of God would manifest in glory. They would see clouds of smoke. They would see lights in the sky. They would feel His presence come on, and angels would appear as people would worship. His glory is revealed in worship. Healings, like Claire said, healings can take place in worship. I remember preaching in the Philippines, and I remember, shout out to all my Filipino brothers and sisters. How are you doing this morning? Two people, let's go. Awesome. Come on, AJ, I was expecting you to go, yeah, woo. Let's try again. Shout out to all my Filipino brothers and sisters. Yeah. Awesome, so good. In the Philippines, I was preaching in this stadium, and I was asked by my friend who was leading this crusade in this basketball stadium to preach on healing. And I actually felt, as I stood there, the Holy Spirit say, don't preach on healing, just teach them to worship me because I'm going to flow in healing. And I taught them to just sing the name of Jesus. And as we were singing the name of Jesus, I said, now healing's starting to flow. And a woman came to the side of the stage and said she had lumps, tumors on her neck and on her chest. And she said, but they're gone. You can't see them anymore. And she showed us around her neck. There was no lump. Her friend came running to the altar and said, it's true. It's true. Her lumps are gone. I said, what happened to you? She said, I just forgot that I was sick. And I just looked at Jesus and became so overwhelmed with His glory, His beauty, His goodness. And I felt like a river rush past me and take my tumors away. Healings can happen during worship. Come on, somebody. Oh, my iPad keeps turning off. Praise the Lord. Healings can take place during worship. Visions can happen during worship. I remember being at a youth camp on my knees and I waited in the presence of God and I worshiped Him and people moved on and left the building. But as I stood there worshiping in His presence, a vision took place and God revealed to me the call to ministry in my future. Visions can take place during worship. Revelations can be downloaded into your heart, into your mind when you worship. Direction can be shown to you, wondering which way to go. I don't know, God, if I should take this job or take that job or do this or do that. Direction can be given to you when you worship in the presence of God. His Spirit can strengthen you and anoint you and empower you into your next step and into your next season. He can refresh you and empower you in the presence of God as we worship. Transformation happens when we worship. Why does transformation happen when we worship? It's not because we're striving to get something from God, but because we let everything else fade away. The things of the earth go strangely dim, and our attention gets caught up in the glory, the beauty, and the majesty of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Transformation happens when we worship. Why? Because we become what we behold. We become what we behold. The more you look to Jesus, the more you become like Him. Somebody say amen. Amen. The more you look to Jesus, the more you become like Him. You know, I've had young people ask me this question, and maybe you've had people ask you this question. They said, Cain, can somebody be gay and still be a Christian? Anyone heard a question like that before? Or another question could be posed as, can somebody be a certain way and still follow Jesus? Can somebody live in sin but still be a Christian? And this young person said to me, can somebody be gay and still follow Jesus? And I said, absolutely, but not for long. Why? Because the more you look at Him, the more you become like Him. If you truly follow Jesus, it's not a matter of Jesus wanting to change your behavior. It's as you behold Him, your behavior starts to change because you become more like Him. Amen? Amen? This is good news for you, because you know what? If you're feeling weak, you can behold the One who died on a cross and endured the cross and resurrected in glorious power. When you're feeling weak, you can behold the One who was strong. When you're feeling like you don't have enough faith to get through this next season, you can behold the one who had enough faith not just to walk on water, but to take a disciple's hand and call him to walk on water too. You become what you behold. The gospel is not about behave and then you become a Christian. The gospel is not about behave before you come to Jesus. The gospel is beautiful, it's powerful, it messes with your mind, it's scandalous because you behold him and you become like him and then you start to behave. Behold comes way before behavior. But too often we don't lift our hands and worship because we think, you know, I haven't been behaving like a good Christian this week. And I don't feel like I can come before God because you don't know what sin I've got in my heart. And I don't think I can come to the front because you don't know what's going on in me. It's like, man, as you behold him, watch him wash you. Watch him transform you. Watch him heal you and deliver you and set you free. The secret for me walking a life of freedom, a life of righteousness, even though sometimes I stumble and fall, the secret is not in me managing my behavior. It's in beholding the one who is beautiful and glorious and righteous. As you behold him, you become more like him. Amen? Is this good? Is this helping somebody this morning? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. When we worship him, we become more like him. I want to share with you a story out of the Bible this morning that really has opened up in my heart this weekend. And it's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Claire, would you be able to help me and just pass up a water for me? I am so thirsty. Is there anything there? Thank you so much. That's all right. Cheers. Are we there? Luke chapter 10. Anyone bring their Bible to church this morning? Come on. So good. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is the story of Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary. Have you got any Marthas in the house this morning? Any Marys? Awesome. Great. Martha and Mary. This is what it says. You ready? It says this in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Anyone have kids that are like, "I do all the work, tell them to help me"? I know my sisters complain all the time. "Oh, I did the dishes, shouldn't have to do them again." "I cooked dinner, so I'm not washing." Bless. Dad and Tony argue about it all the time. "Oh, I didn't have a kidding, they don't." Just airing out family dirty laundry here. It'll dry out. I was just joking, that doesn't happen in a household, we are perfect. All right. "Tell her to help me." And Jesus replies, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed." Oh, that's interesting. "You are worried and upset about many things, but only few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It's not about active or not active. It's not that Jesus was upset with Martha for making sandwiches. He wasn't upset with Martha because she was active and Mary was not active. A lot of times we read this scripture and we think that this is a story about doing too much, but it's actually not about doing too much, but it's about doing the right thing and where the value is placed. In this story, Martha placed value in preparing meals and food for Jesus and the guests. But in this story, Jesus is saying, "I'm actually not really hungry for sandwiches right now, Martha. I'm hungry for you to come and sit at my feet." He was more hungry for her heart than he was for her sandwiches. And sometimes I believe if we're not careful, we can get caught making sandwiches for Jesus that he never asked for. Sometimes we can get caught doing things for God in the name of Jesus, serving, striving, doing things for God that he never asked for. So often, the love is not just found in acts of service, but love is found in presence. Who knows that you can do, if I was a father I'm just putting myself in this illustration today, but if I was a father and I worked really hard for my family and my kids to have a good education, who knows, that is a good thing. That is not a bad thing to work hard to provide for my family to have a good education one day and to send them to Mackay Christian College. That's not a bad thing. But if I work so hard that I'm not present, who knows that there's something that's missed there in between. If I work so hard that I'm not present with my kids, they're not going to know my love for them. And I think sometimes we can do things in the name of the Lord saying, well, God, I'm working for you. Well, God, I'm serving you. Well, God, I'm singing on stage for you. Well, God, I'm serving on the service team, or I'm doing the coffee, or I'm serving in kids for you. Don't you see that I love you? But God's saying, I understand that, but I care about you more, not doing things for me, but doing things with me. Jesus is not saying to Martha, never make sandwiches again. I don't like sandwiches. He's just saying, right now, I'm hungry for you to come before my feet. I'm hungry for your worship. I'm hungry for your attention. If doing things for God takes away our attention from Him, then we have missed something. We have missed something. I'll say it again. If doing things for God take our attention away from Him, then we have missed something. He desires our attention. He desires the ministry of presence. Why do you think He is so present in our life? Why do you think God is omnipresent? Because He knows how important it is to be present in your life. Do we know how important it is to be present in His, to step into His presence, to do things with Him, not just for Him? I wonder if the story would have looked really different if Martha, before she made sandwiches, came and sat at His feet. Because I don't think He was angry at her for making sandwiches. I think she just valued the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I wonder how different the story would have been if before she made sandwiches, she would sit at His feet and listen and learn and love and cherish Him and get to know Him more and ask questions of Him and enjoy His company. If you have guests over your house and the whole time you're making food for them and you never get to enjoy their company, what was the point of them being your guests? I love this statement I heard recently, and I actually can't remember who said it, but it was a preacher who said, Jesus is the guest of honor. He is the guest of honor. But when He comes into the room, He becomes the host. He is our guest of honor, but when He comes into the room, He becomes our host. What does it look like in worship? In worship, we worship Him like He is the guest of honor. And then He starts to reveal Himself in the room, and He starts to move in power and glory. And we say, Lord, the meeting is yours. The worship set is yours. I love this about our worship team. I love this about our worship team because they know this. They have a set list plan. They prepared. They've rehearsed their songs. But if in worship the Lord Jesus comes and starts moving in by His presence and leading us in a different direction, it's like, well, Lord, You're the guest of honor, but now You've become the host. How often in our life do we have our attention on other things that we miss putting value on His presence? Mary was good because she probably started to help Martha before Jesus arrived. But the moment Jesus arrived, she came and sat at His feet. How often are we at work and we sense the presence of God or the conviction of the Holy Spirit call us away to pray and we ignore it? How often are you in a conversation with someone and the conversation's a bit awkward and a bit heated and you're having an argument with a friend or a family member and in the argument you sense Holy Spirit say, hey, careful, check yourself, just step away for a minute. I'm actually calling you to forgive and to be humble in this situation. And we ignore the feeling because we're busy on something else. We need to get good at turning away and turning to Him. In worship, sometimes we can come into worship and we can have so many things on our mind. But I love that Jesus doesn't roast Martha. He doesn't shame Martha. I don't see this as Jesus shaming Martha for making sandwiches. Martha, you're so bad that you're making sandwiches. I see it as an invitation. I don't see Jesus saying, Martha, I'm sick and tired of you making me sandwiches. I see it in Him saying, Martha, just pause for a moment, come sit at my feet. Martha, don't worry about that right now. What's important? I'm hungry for your heart. Come sit at my feet. I think we need to learn when we come into church on a Sunday morning, we come together to worship. You have to leave some things at the door. You have to get good at leaving some things at the door. I know sometimes it's hard. We've got distractions. We've got things on our mind. Jesus does not shame you and condemn you when you've got your hands raised in worship and something else comes through your mind and a distraction comes through your mind. It's gonna happen. It happens to all of us except Pastor Cheryl. And this will happen to you. It will happen to you. Jesus doesn't shame you for it. He just calls you back. He calls you back. Just, you know, this is what I do. When I'm caught in worship and a distraction or a thought or an image comes through my mind that is not needed in this time, I turn my attention back to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I look to you. I look to you. You know what? I don't have to apologize. I don't have to run away. I don't have to be disappointed in myself. I can simply turn my attention back to him. You know, I used to play soccer and the old soccer fields in Mackay used to be near the airport and planes would fly over. And I remember playing soccer and I was the type of kid that as the planes would fly over the soccer field, I'd be like, I'd be chasing the ball and then I'd go, and I'd start following it and all the kids would start following it. But you know who scored the goal? The kid who wasn't distracted. The one who had his eyes on the prize and he could see and he could pass the ball down and score his goal because he kept his eyes focused. You know what? He noticed the plane flying over, but he noticed it and thought, all right, now I'm going back. Turn my attention. You know what? You know what he didn't do? He didn't go, oh, I'm so sorry, coach. I can't believe I was distracted. Please forgive me. The coach would have been like, get back on the field. Do you know what I mean? Don't allow your distractions to burden you or to discourage you, but slip back in to the presence of God. I think this is a beautiful story, and there's a time and a place for making sandwiches, and there's a time and a place for sitting at his feet. Jesus doesn't say, never make sandwiches. He doesn't say, never work hard, because Jesus worked really hard. He stayed up all night healing people. He's not against busyness, as long as you're busy with the right thing. Amen? He stayed up all night healing the sick. He's not against work. It's just the right thing at the right time. And when his presence is in the room, we need to come before him, give him glory and honor. There's a time for giving and there's a time for receiving. And Martha, it was her time for receiving. It was her time for receiving. And she came before him. And I think that's a beautiful illustration of even in our worship, there's a time for praising and there's a time for adoration. There's a time for praise and a time for worship. I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes as our team and our worship leaders are leading, there will be times where they feel led by the Spirit to lift up a shout of praise. You know what we're called to do? We're called to follow their lead and to lift up a shout of praise with them. There's a time for praising and there's also a time for reflective worship. But you know what? If we want to go deeper, we need to learn how to worship together. And I want to encourage you, when our worship leaders are lifting up a high praise to the King, it's your time to lift up high praise to the King. When our worship leaders are stepping back into the presence of God and leaning on his presence and enjoying his presence and receiving from him, that's your time to step in. Let them lead you. And actually, I felt this for you, Jack, while we were worshiping this morning. And I felt like a bird flying in the breeze, and there's a current in the air that's quite strong. And I feel like as a worship leader of our house, of this family, that there have been times where it's been hard and challenging and you felt like you're going against the breeze. And this really hit me emotionally. And I don't know if it will hit you emotionally. I don't care if it does, but I just feel to honor the Lord and share it. But like sometimes you've been flying against the breeze and it's been really hard to get your speed and really hard to move forward. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to remind you that you're not leading on your own, but he's calling you to come into the slipstream of the flock. Come into the slipstream of the flock. Let him be the bird at the front. He's gonna lead. He's calling you in this season to come into his presence. And as you follow his lead, he breaks the wind barrier for you. And you follow in his steps. And we as a church are gonna follow in your steps. We're gonna follow in your flight. And this is for us as a church. We need to learn unity in worship. It's. I'm telling you, man, it's unity commands a blessing. The churches that see revival, just like we are experiencing something here in this house, but the churches that see a great move of God and the glory manifested on worship is the ones that come in unity and follow the leaders because they're following the Holy Spirit and we're following him too, but we're just slipped in the slipstream. You wanna go deeper in the presence of God, it's gonna be hard to fly out on your own without a flock. Come into the flock. Come to the flock. Jack, we're going to support you. We're going to follow you. We're going to lean in with you. In this season, I believe the Lord is calling us all together to come into the slipstream of where the Holy Spirit's leading us deeper in worship. Amen. Give God praise for that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Is that okay, bro? Sorry I'm rushing, but I feel that this morning. Lastly, I want to end with this. My time is up. So worship team, I'd love for you to join me on stage. We need to learn those high praise moments and those worship and receiving moments. Just like Jack sang this morning, in worship, we love him and then let him love us back. And then love him and let him love us back. And you need to get good at this. You need to practice this because you're going to be doing it for eternity. Worship to me is now not boring. I used to get bored in worship. But then I realized that it's not just about me giving, making sandwiches. It's actually about loving him, letting him love me back, enjoying his presence and explore and receiving revelations of how much he loves us and then glorifying him because he loves us so. And you'll never get bored if you come into the cycle of that sort of worship. I want to end with this. There's a story in the Bible of a woman who comes into who actually crashes a dinner party. Jesus is at a dinner party with some important people. They've invited him as the guest of honor in the house. And this woman crashes the dinner party and she breaks open her perfume at the feet of Jesus and cries and breaks down at his feet, anointing the feet of Jesus, worshiping and giving him adoration. And as I read this story, we have to ask ourselves as we read stories like this, who is this woman? What authority did she have to break into this dinner party? Who did she think she was to crash in? How did she know Jesus was at the dinner party? How did she get there? Why did she not care what other people thought of her? Why was she so moved? She's obviously met Jesus before. But why was she so moved that she would break into this party and pour out her worship at his feet, unrestrained, undignified, adoring Jesus in that moment? Who was this woman and why would she do this? And if you do some study, you can start to see that in this story, this beautiful story, we actually see it's the same Mary that was sitting at the feet of Jesus when Martha was making sandwiches. And if you follow the chronology, how do you say it, somebody? What Peter said. Sometimes I have trouble with my words. If you follow the order of events in the Bible, you would see this take place. Get this, somebody needs to hear this morning. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, but she missed it. She adored him, she loved him, she worshipped him, but she didn't fully understand who he was yet. There was more to be revealed. Somebody here this morning, God's saying there's more to be revealed. She goes away. Lazarus dies. Who is Lazarus? Mary's brother. And Mary comes running to Jesus and says, Lord, you need to heal him. How could you let him die? Come now quickly, Lord. And Jesus weeps because of the loss of Lazarus, but also because Mary didn't truly know who he was and doubted him. She doubted the Lord. And Jesus goes and raises Lazarus from the dead. And the Pharisees and some of the people hear about it and they invite Jesus to a dinner party. And Mary is processing all that's happened. And something awakens in her, this revelation awakens in her that this man is the Messiah. This man is the savior of my brother. He's the savior of my heart. He's the savior of the world. This man is the Messiah, the King of glory. I haven't given him the worship he's worthy of. Everything within her compelled her to find out where he was right then and there, bust into a dinner party, break open her alabaster box and pour out her worship at his feet because this revelation clicks that this is Jesus the Savior. And she worships him, not caring about what people think about her. And I feel like sometimes we get too familiar with Jesus. And we're too familiar with the worship songs we sing and we come in and we go and we just get familiar with his presence. But I believe that as we come into deeper revelations of who he is, we go into deeper depths of his glory. as we worship deeper, our revelation unfolds. I want to encourage you this morning, church. Would you join us on this journey into the deep? Because I believe the Lord is calling us deeper. As a church, there is more miracles for us to discover, more revelations for us to discover. But it's going to have to come with you stepping out of your comfort zone, breaking open the alabaster box of your heart and pouring out your worship at His feet. And watch Him lead you into deeper revelations, deeper miracles, resurrection power. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just close your eyes with me in this place this morning? Holy Spirit, lead us into your presence, not just on Sundays, Lord, but in our homes. May we learn your presence because we learned what it's like to swim in the deep end, that we could go out and teach others how to come into the presence of God. May your presence, Lord, come with us as we go about our week, as we go into our workplace and into our areas of influence, Lord. Let your presence lead us. And may we know what it's like to be led by your presence because we have come before you into the deep. Take us deeper. Take us deeper. Would you stand with me in this place this morning? If you feel in your heart, as I'm sharing this, you're feeling Father God saying, come a little deeper, come a little deeper, come a little deeper, then what I want you to do is I want us to pray together. I want you to put your hand on your heart with me. If you want to come a little deeper, just do it. Doesn't matter what you look like. Stop caring about what people think about you. It's between you and Jesus. And put your hand on your heart and say, Jesus, I want to go deeper. I want more revelation of who you are, of your love for me and the world around me. I believe that you are good and there is more of you to discover. Take me deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's how I want to end the service today. I want to open up the deep end. We're going to sing this song together. And I want it to be a seal. We're not going to worship for an hour or two, just for a few moments. But what I want us to do is seal this word in our hearts, to seal this prophetic call within our hearts with our worship, so that next week when we come back, we're ready to open up the alabaster box. I believe this moment is God refilling perfume into your heart. So I want to invite you, if you feel to stretch out, to praise Him, if you want to get out of your seats, you're welcome to. You're more than welcome. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. And I want us to seal this heart of worship, this call to go deeper. Amen? Amen. Well, why don't you prepare yourself for worship? Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We repent of familiarity.